Have the Pattersons here. I tried to figure out how long they've been coming here, but it's all seems like it's been since the 1900s they've been coming here sometime. So
2004 was the first.
Oh, four. Okay. So praise the Lord. What a joy. Praise the Lord. And you still headed up to Maine?
Yes.
Okay. So I appreciate them stopping by Good Samaritan Baptist Church on their way to Maine. Some preacher that drives a Harley told me to tell you, yo, again.
David Garnett.
Where did we see him? Down in New Jersey.
Yeah, you saw him down in New Jersey.
Yeah. So it's good to have the Pattersons here. What a joy. Praise the Lord. You come and preach what God's laid on your heart. And I like an evangelist who knows you guys. Again, that's good.
I know you better because the pastor tells me about all your sins. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Good to be here today. It really is. I get to thinking of, you mentioned this preacher from Maine, David Garnett. I remember the first time I met Brother Garnett back in the early 90s. And we had just come back to Newfoundland helping a church. He had started up there. We were there about 5.5 weeks up on the rock. We call it the rock up there, you know. And I stopped by his church like the next year when I was back out in Maine again. And I pulled in the driveway to park my trailer, and I look out in front of his office. There's a sign on the above the parking spot that says "No Jap Bikes Allowed." Amen. And he's got a great big beautiful red Harley parked underneath that thing. And I said, "Man, whose bike is that, preacher?" He says, "Mine." He says, "You endorsed us?" "Yes." "You want to take her for a ride?" I said, "Absolutely. Want to get hooked up?" Amen. So I hooked up and took her for a ride. Got my wife on the ride, and took my daughters on a ride and come back to the church. And I said, "Man, that is a sweet ride, sweet bike." He said, "You want to preach for me tonight?" So you just ride the preacher's motorcycle and you get to preach, amen. So had a great time. And I came here the first time in 2004. My wife couldn't come with me. My truck was broke down. I borrowed our van and she borrowed the preacher's mother's car for the week. And I came out and preached a week of meetings for you. And you guys are glutton for punishment. You have it back every year. I've missed 2 years. I missed the year that I had, open heart surgery. I had heart failure and open heart surgery. And then I missed the year when I was I was in congestive heart failure again. And I believe I made it out here. After I got my pacemaker, I made it out here. So I made that one, you know. But man, I tell you, time goes fast when you're having fun, amen. And my wife and I were talking about that this year, man. Physically, we're both we're dying. That's what the doctor says. You're dying. Well, he said everybody's dying, amen. Yeah. But we're dying, so yeah. But sooner or later, amen. Well, Hosea chapter 14 with me this morning, please. Book Hosea, then chapter 14, right after the book of Daniel in your Bibles, right after the book of Daniel, find the book of Hosea. And if you turn there, I would appreciate it. The book of Hosea. And I do thank Pastor for having us out here again this year. I'm actually leaving here, Pastor, and I'm going over to Moscow, Pennsylvania, just over by Scranton for a 4-day meeting. And then I go up to, then I'm going to be just north of Scranton just for a Sunday morning. And then I'm going to be the next week, I'm going to be over in Connecticut, and I'll be in one church in Wingdale, New York in the morning, and another church in the evening. And then we head up to Maine, and I got a revival meeting and 2 1-day meetings up there to be at, and then back down to Connecticut for more meetings. And it's been the Lord. I had to cancel 10 weeks this year because of my back, for back surgery and everything. And boy, I was a mess, amen. And then I come back from Florida, got on a plane, flew back up the north. The preacher picked me up, and still walking a little gimpy. Had a cane, had to walk with a cane all the time, and preached Sunday morning. That come back on Friday, preached that Sunday morning in an old fashioned tent meeting, kicking off a camp meeting for him. That's the only time I preach a Sunday morning. I'm just kickoff preacher every year. And then we have 22 other preachers that preach throughout the week, you know, and just had a great time up there. And then I wasn't feeling too good. Man, a week and a half later, after that meeting was over, I ended up in the hospital. I was spitting up blood and a fever, and they thought I had pneumonia, got pneumonia. And nobody in the meeting got pneumonia, nobody else got what I got, and they think I picked it up off the plane coming up, you know. They thought I was a septic preacher, so they ran, man, I never had so much blood taken out of me in my life. I've lost the vampires, boy, I tell you what, man. I've lost a lot of blood over the years, but not like that. They were coming in there a couple hours and taking blood out of me and running her for a talk screen, running her for a septic screen, and, you know, 3 days later, let me out, and I recuperated on Thursday, let me out, and I recuperated on Friday, and Saturday, I drove to another meeting and started another week of meetings, amen, and, you know, by Wednesday that week, I was done coughing, I was feeling better, amen, but I'll tell you, you can't quit, amen, you just can't quit. I can't quit. I should take more time off. I really should, but I can't. I want to, you know, but I can't. It's just something about me that just says, don't do it. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. I want to make sure I'm on the Lord's side on this, amen. But I got to keep on going. I hope I can preach until the day I die. I really do. Well, would you stand with me as we read the book of Hosea, chapter 14, the last chapter of the book of Hosea. I want to read to start off with just verse 1 and verse 2. And then we will look at the rest of this text this morning. Verse 1 and verse 2. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. I like how he puts the responsibility back on Israel. Not anybody else's problem, not anybody else's fault. You've fallen because of you, no one else. And by the way, when you fall, when you sin, it's because of you and not because of somebody else. You make the choice to sin against the holy God. So he makes this statement, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips or the sacrifice or praise of our lips to you. He says, that's what we want to do, Lord. We want to do this. We want to come back and do what's right. And so I like the statement there. He makes a beginning there. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the time we can have here again this morning. I pray that you'd have the honor and the glory, Lord. Thank you for the prayers that have already gone up, for the tenderness of this church, Father. For the Lord, just for the friendship of this church and the fellowship of this church. And Father, it feels like family when we come back here. Thank you, God, so much for making us feel at home. And thank you so much, Father, for a church that prays, for a church that gives, Father, to missions, for a church that is seeking your will, for a church that wants revival, God. We don't see that much anymore today. God, thank you for this church. Help us this week, Lord. Help me this week, Father. Revive my own heart, Lord, please. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this morning, I want to look at that word again for a moment where he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And I want to preach a message to you on this thought this morning. Repentance will bring revival. Repentance will bring revival. We don't hear much about repentance today in the pulpits around our country. Pastor, I know that you've touched on it here. I know that you've preached. I know you've written on it in the penny pulpit. I know that you've done many things around it. But that's far and few between today in a lot of churches. We do not hear the term repentance anymore. They're afraid that the term repentance is going to turn people away from God rather than draw him to God. If they would just simply read the Bible, they will see that it takes repentance, and you have to have repentance along with a confession, along with faith, along with believing, along with the grace of God in order to be saved by the grace of God. Amen. God works in your heart and brings that point where you see sin the way he sees sin. You begin to hate sin the way he hates sin. You begin to desire to do what's right rather than desire to do what's wrong. You decide to follow God, and repentance begins to take its work in your life, and it will bring revival to the heart. It will bring revival to the soul, beginning at salvation. Amen. And going on through salvation in your Christian life to serve God with a holy heart. He said, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. That word return is a very interesting word in the scriptures. It has about 80 different words associated with it. I just want to read a few of those to you, if I can, or a couple of thoughts along that line. A couple of them are this. Draw back. It means deny. Deliver from. Pull in again. Turn back. To bring back, or I like this one, it reminds me of West Virginia, or the fetch home again. Amen. To bring back or the fetch home again. To recall. To recover. To refresh. To relieve. To rescue. To restore. To retrieve. And cause to make. To return. To reverse. Cause to make. Cause it to make. Cause you to make. To return. To reverse. Or to repent. Repent. It's an interesting to me that God so many times deals with words in the scripture that deal with the word repentance as you would study the word of God. And he comes to them and he makes this statement, "Oh, Israel, return." He's saying, "Israel, repent. Come back to me where you ought to be. Turn your heart back to me. Confess your sin. Get things right with you." And he said, "Take with you words." Look what he said. "Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips all. Come in confession to the Holy God." Amen. Get your lips in the right place where your heart is and make things right with God. Confess them with God. You know, confession today is just about out the door also, Pastor. I'm not talking about confession that you would see in the Catholic Church where somebody sets in a little room over here, closes the door, and slides open a little curtain over here, and there's a little fence between the two of you, and you sit there and you tell him all the things that you've done. That's not confession, my friend, amen. That's just trying to relieve a guilty heart, and it's not going to happen because Jesus Christ died for you, and he's the only one that can relieve the guilt that's in your life as Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's not the kind of repentance I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of repentance where we fall on our face before a holy God, we confess our sin before a holy God, we want to get things right before a holy God because we know our heart is not where it ought to be with God. And that's what he's talking to him about right here. Get these things right with me, he says. Well, let's look at verse 3 for a few moments. So I'll get into the message now. That was a little bit of introduction. Amen. Now I'll get calm. Well, maybe not. Amen. Number one, I'm going to draw three things out of verse 3. Three thoughts out of verse 3. And I know he's speaking to Israel. Amen. We know he's speaking to Israel. I want to make application to you and to me with this text as we look at this here. He makes a statement, "Asher shall not save us." Period. Asher shall not save us. They repented from, number one, they need to repent from trusting in man. They said, "Asher will not save us." They need to repent from trusting man, or you could write down, "That which will give them power from men." Asher, those that they would call upon, the idea of those that they would call upon during a time of hardship, during a time of battle, those that they were putting their trust in, trusting man rather than trusting God. Can I tell you this? If Israel would never went to any other nation, if Israel would have just stayed Israel and done what was right and never trusted in anyone else or any other nation or anything else, God would have blessed them and they would have won every battle they ever had and never, a preacher, I believe, probably never would have lost a man if they just would have trusted God the way they needed to trust God. But they did not. Asher is the second son of Shem, or who was the son of Noah. That's the grandson of Noah, amen. Asher is where the tribe comes from, is where it comes up from. In Jeremiah 17:5 it says this, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm." He trusts in what man can do. He's trusting in what someone else can do other than what himself or what he ought to be doing as an individual. The Bible says, "And whose heart departeth from the Lord." He trusts a man and it takes him away from the things of God in his life. It trusts a man, it takes him away from trusting in God. Why? Because he thinks man has the answers to his problem rather than God having the answers to his problem. And sometimes, and can I make this statement to you? Sometimes, that's why Christians read books, Pastor, not to get information, to only to get information to bring them out of their guilt or to get information to find something that would agree with them rather than agree with the Word of God. Amen? And why? Because we're trusting man's wisdom. I'm not against Christian books. I'm really not. I'm not against Christian authors. I read commentaries. I read your pastor's penny pulpit. Whenever he sends it, I read that, brother. Every week. Amen? I've gotten some good messages stolen from you out there. I'm just kidding. Amen? But he's got he brings things out that I never think about sometimes. Amen? That's just how slow my mind works. Amen? But, you know, I read it, and I read other men all the time, and because why? We need to know the things of the truth of the Word of God. But I read those men who I know I can trust for sure. I know I can trust them, amen. And if I'm reading anybody else, because I want to find out what I get, kind of dirt I can get on them, amen. I know you don't do that, Pastor. No, man. I tell you what, read the Penny Paul, you'll find out, amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. "Take heed, brethren." Take heed, he says. He said, you know what that means? Listen up. Pay attention. That's what he's saying. Take heed. Listen to what I have to say to you. "Brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." He's not talking, you can't, you're not talking about departing from your salvation. You can't do that, amen. You've got salvation. If you're saved, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. He's not talking about departing from salvation. He's talking about you turning your heart away from God and trusting in someone other than God. Trusting in your flesh, trusting in the flesh of man, some other individual or some other corporation other than God. It amazes me today how many. I've got a couple preacher friends, brother. Now, over the years, that were independent fundamental. They were independent fundamental, and I'm not preaching against the Southern Baptist. Please understand me. But they went to the Southern Baptist Convention in churches. And here's what one of them told me. In fact, the other one basically told me the same thing. You know, I won't go preach for them. You know, they've asked me if I come and said I can't. That's me. If somebody else wants to go, don't bother me one bit, amen. I just can't do it because I can't. I won't go there, amen. I just can't. It's me. I can't do it, you know. And so here's what the one told me. He said, well, he said, Mike, I have no health insurance program and they have a great retirement program. And they do. They do, brother. They really do. They have an excellent program for preachers who want to retire, but I can't go there. I can't do it, you know. But that's why he chose. So what's he doing? He chose to step, I believe, chose to step out of the will of God in his life as an independent Baptist pastor and move in another direction, and he's trusting the flesh of man, trusting in an organization rather than trusting in God. Well, I tell you what, I've determined in my heart by the grace of God, not to do that. By the grace of God, I don't want to do that. Amen. Hey, what repentance and trusting in man? What's Psalm chapter 1? The first part of that verse says, blesses man that trusteth not in the counsel, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. I'll come out sooner or later, Miss Bev. Amen. It'll pop out of there. Amen. It just floats around sometimes, and it bounces so hard that I can't hear one thing from the other in my ears. Amen. But blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not trusting in man. He's trusting in God. And we need to have our trust in God. Repentance, and we need to repent from that. Amen. We really do. God, help me not to trust in someone else. Help me not to trust. God, help me to trust in you. Help me not to rely. You can't rely on your job today, amen. Isn't that true, Brother Kramer? You can't rely. I mean, you know, you got to. I think you're still at the same place, aren't you? The same school, the same wicked students, amen. Yeah, you know. But you know, yeah, that can be done tomorrow. Your school system can say, you know, you're too much of a Christian. We don't want you here anymore. It's happening all over the place. Christians are getting fired from jobs all over the place because they're born-again believers, because they're saved. Even if you don't get out and hammer the Bible and hammer tracts down people's throat, they don't want you around when they find out that you're a Christian because they're afraid that what you live is going to convict them of their sin in their life, and that's what happens. Amen. Boy, I tell you, I hope that don't happen to you. Amen. But you can't trust that job, amen. You can't trust your retirement. You can't trust. Listen, you can't trust Social Security. You gotta trust God as a believer in Jesus Christ. And I've got Social Security. I'm 66. I started drawing when I was 64. You know, 2 years ago, and I get a whopping $421 a month. Praise the Lord, amen. I thank God for that. That's extra money. You know, it feels good, brother, to have a little bit of ka-ching now and then, amen. Well, they didn't just repent for trusting a man, but look with me. He says, you need to repent for trusting a man. And then he makes this statement, and here's what they said. We will not ride upon horses. That which would give them power for repent for trusting a horse, that which would give them power in battle. Let me make this statement to you. You have a battle every day in your life. It's called spiritual. There's a spiritual battle. Brother Dave, you touched a little bit on that in Sunday school. Test the spirits. Amen. We have a spiritual battle continually every day as believers in Jesus Christ. There's something that's coming your way, something that's tempting you. And you cannot trust the world for your spiritual battle. You dare not go. You dare, listen, don't take this the wrong way, but you dare not go to a counselor that's not a born-again believer. Dare not. Because they're not going to lead you down the right path. They get all these isms today that they tack on to all these different problems that have always been in the world, and now they got a terminology for every stinking thing that man wants to do wrong today, and well, I'm this and I'm this, so that's why I do this and I can do this because this is what I am now. What? Hey, you know what happened? Let's get back to the Bible, amen. Amen. Let's get back to repenting. Let's get back to getting people saved. Let's get back with getting our hearts right with the Holy God. That's what we need. That's what I need. That's what you need. Because they were trusting in horses or that which would give them power in battle. You cannot trust in something else to give you power. Them horses were like a war horse, man. And in fact, they were told, where was it? I got to think here real quick. I got it right down. I got my notes here somewhere. Anyway, that's what they were told. Amen. No, they were told not to, they were told in Deuteronomy 17:16. The Israel king, the king of Israel were told not to multiply horses unto themselves. Why? Because God did not want them trusting in that horse for the battle. He did not want them, he did not want them, pastor, he did not want them sitting on them horses in a pompous attitude, a pompous way, and bragging about themselves. He wanted them to trust him. But yet they're trusting in something for their battle. And boy, sometimes we trust in other things for our spiritual battles, my friend. We need to trust God, amen. Come back to the Bible. Get in the Word of God. If you're having a difficult time, man, get in the book and start reading until God gives you an answer, amen. Read until God gives you an answer. I like you talking about reading the Bible through in a year this morning. And Brother Dave in Sunday school and how that, well, I think it was Sunday school. Yeah, it was Sunday school. And how that it will give you answers. And if you don't read it, you will never know the answers that you have. Amen. And things will come to your mind. Boy, I tell you what, there's times I've talked to people and I thought, they're talking about something. I think, okay, Lord. And the thought, it'll come to my mind. I can't always remember the scripture where it's at, but it'll come to my mind right there. Stuff I haven't even really ever memorized. Amen. But that verse is there because I've read it so many times over the years. Amen. But we just need to simply trust God. Amen. Quit trusting in things. Quit trusting in instruments. Quit trusting in other things for our spiritual battle. He says in Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, he says, some trust in chariots. Some trust in chariots. And some in horses. That's what he said. But David makes a statement. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's who we're going to remember. But when that spiritual battle comes your way, don't pick up some book to try to get the answer for your spiritual battle. Pick up the Bible and get your answer for your spiritual battle. I read a book just recently here by R.B. Ouellette, a pastor, bathroom reader, amen. And my wife picked it up over in Dresden, and Brother, that's his name. I was just there last week, amen. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's getting terrible, brother, amen. Anyway, it'll come to me here in just a minute. Mitchell, Brother Mitchell, and over there. And I read that book through, and every time I read a section of it, God just speak to my heart. But you know what he did with that book, pastor? You want to know what a good book is? When you read it, and it brings you back to this, everything he said brought you back to the Bible. Everything he said put it back in perspective with the Word of God. Everything he said, he didn't leave anything out. And praise the Lord, he's King James, amen. And praise the Lord that he got some good writing. It was about tearing down the strongholds in your life. But tremendous book, pastor. If you never read it, I'd encourage you to get a copy of that. Tremendous book, great book for study. And some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Let's trust God. The horse is prepared in Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but salvation is of the Lord. Hey, listen, your salvation does not come from trusting in something else. Your salvation comes from trusting God, amen, and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will bring you through, not just in your salvation from the soul going to eternal damnation, but He will bring you through in salvation of every difficulty, every problem, every spiritual battle, everything that comes your way that tries to damage you or damage the church or harm you. God will bring you through because your salvation is of the Lord, not in something else. It's only God and God only. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says this, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's trusting in something else. I mean, carnality is the flesh. Trusting in something else. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. God. He said, our weapons are God. And God will pull down the strongholds. When? when I get those things right with God, God will give me the power to do what I need to do to serve Him, to follow Him, to obey Him, not to turn again to sin. That's what God wants in your life. That's what God wants in my life. He wants us to trust Him 100%. Go to Galatians. Keep your finger here in Hosea. And go to the book of Galatians. Just for a while. I don't want to look at... I should just type this verse out, because by the time you get there, I'm already going to be there. Amen. But chapter 5, verse 17 says this. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Isn't that true? Your flesh fights the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God says, this is what I want you to do, and your flesh says, no, don't do that. The Spirit of God says, I want you to follow me and obey me here, and I don't want you to do this. And the flesh says, yeah, but I want to do that. And we justify it by this. We say, well, if I do that, I'm still saved, I'm going to heaven. Yes, you are, but shame on you for even doing it. Amen. Shame on us when we think about it. Listen, shame on us when we think about that sin and we don't confess that sin to God as sin. Just thinking about it ought to be confessed to God. Amen. We ought to confess that to God. Well, I tell you what, my friend, that verse says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. How am I going to be led by the Spirit? By being in the Word of God, by confessing things to Him, by making things right with Him. He is the one that can only, He's the only one that can take care of that. That's God. Amen. And then look with me, if you will, please, back to the text. Asher shall not save us, as trusting in man. We will not ride upon horses, as trusting in something else for your spiritual warfare other than trusting in God. And then he said, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, to what we have accomplished, to what we can do. Watch what he says. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findest mercy. And I'm going to stop where the work of our hands, ye are our gods. What I can accomplish, possibly here, Pastor, even with them, as much as taking their hands and forming the idols that they worshipped. The idols that they worshipped. But he said, here's what I wrote in my notes, simply, that which will cause you to trust in yourself. That which will cause you, they're trusting in the work of their hands. What they can do, what they can accomplish, and making the idols, they trusted, I'm going to make this beautiful thing, and look what I have done, look what I have accomplished, and they're trusting in themselves rather than trusting in a holy God. That which would give them power in their own strength, the flesh which turns them from God. It could be the idols they made with their hands, which still turns them from God. Either way, is what they accomplish in the flesh of their own arm, the flesh of their own strength, is what they had accomplished, and not what God wanted to accomplish for them. You know, Paul says in chapter 6, verse 19, you know, you got to respect Paul in the Scriptures, amen. And well, what a tremendous writer Paul was. He said, I speak after the manner of men. He said, because of the infirmity of your flesh. You know what he's saying there? He said, I'm putting the rubber down where it meets the road. So you understand what I'm saying, amen. And they understood. I'm going to tell you what, they understood the flesh. They understood. By the way, can I say this? You understand the flesh too, amen. If you're saved, you understand how wicked that flesh can be, amen. And you understand how that flesh can pull you away from God, amen. You understand that if you're a born-again believer. Paul said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity, because of the weakness, because of how wicked it is, there's a thought there, of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members' service to uncleanness, that's your body, your members, and to iniquity unto iniquities, even so now yield your members' service to righteousness unto holiness. He said, man, repent from trusting yourself. Repent from that wicked sin that draws you away from Him. Repent from the flesh of doing those wicked things, ungodly things. Serve me. That's what God wants out of you. That's what God wants out of you. He wants us to simply be obedient to Him and follow Him and obey Him. And Romans 8:8 says, so then they that are in the flesh, watch, cannot please God. You can't please God if you're trusting yourself. You can't please God if you're trusting in something else. You can't please God if you're trusting in someone else. He said, the flesh cannot please God. It can never please God. Your flesh don't please God. You were created to the glory of God, to bring glory unto God. But your flesh cannot please God. Amen. But the Spirit of God can, which can make moanings and groanings for you, which you cannot utter. Amen. And I cannot utter. That'll be praises to God. when you pour out your heart to God and God's working in your heart and you're repenting to God and you're repenting in such a way that your heart is broken before you, you might be in tears, you might be weeping, you might not even be able to utter a word, and you're trying to and it's not coming out, you're stammering, and the Holy Spirit of God is taking that which is in your heart, Pastor, and He's telling the God the Father what's going on, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to God the Father for you, making moanings and groanings from you that, to the Holy God that you can't utter, you can't say it because your heart is so broken before God, and you see the holiness of God, and you see what God wants out of your life, and you're giving it to God to the honor and the glory of Him, and the Holy Spirit's interpreting all that. Well, that's when we come to a holy God, broken before God. Sometimes because of our sin, sometimes because of somebody else's sin. Sometimes because of a child's sin. Sometimes because of a teenager's sin. Sometimes because of a friend's sin. And we pour our heart out before a holy, righteous God. Romans 13, verse 14 says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh," he says, neither to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Make no provision for the flesh, neither to fulfill the lust of. When that temptation comes, my friend, you need to confess that, make it right with God, and say, "God, help me. I'm sorry. I was even thinking about that. God, I don't want that in my mind." You know what? Maybe just start singing, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." Amen. That might, maybe, you know, "Amazing Grace." You just sing it and start singing. And, well, you know what? It'll change your mind. If you're in a grocery store and some wicked thing comes before your eyes, maybe just turn around and say, "Jesus loves me." Now, they think you're nuts, amen. As in a meeting over in Wingdale, New York, once years ago, Pastor. I'm going back, man, 1990, I think, was when this took place. And we had revival breaking loose, brother. You know, I mean, it was. We had standing room only on Wednesday night in the church. Church could only seat about 80 people. We had 122 people out there, you know, standing up along the back wall. And in the middle of the week, there was a little girl. And then Monday or Tuesday, maybe it was, I was losing my voice, you know, and not because I'm a loud preacher, just because I was losing my voice, amen. And that Sinaitic Valley, I think, or something like that. And walked into a little drugstore to get some stuff to try not to put me to sleep as I'm trying to preach, amen. And so I picked up some stuff, Sudafed or something, I can't remember, off the counter, you know, off the thing. And there's a little girl standing there. She comes walking over to Pastor Bacino, and Pastor Bacino's about this tall to me, you know. He's a short guy and a little Italian fella, you know. And so she walks up to Pastor Bacino, and she says, "Hi, Pastor." And her mom was with her, and she says, "This is my pastor, and we love Jesus, don't we, Pastor?" She's all excited. And he said, "We sure do, sweetheart." She stands there and she goes, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And she just bouncing all over the place. And there's an elderly woman over here. Elderly, you know. That's all I'm going to say about that, sister, amen. Elderly grandma, amen. Elderly woman over here. But this elderly woman does this. She turns around from where she's standing and she goes, "Screwed up or no?" It looked like one of them school teachers. Oh, are there any school teachers in here? She looked like one of them old school teachers. Remember, I had one called Mrs. Bidlack. And you didn't do what's right, brother. She'd say, "Haul out your hand." She'd take that three-quarter ruler, go, "Whack, whack, whack." "I'm back in your knuckles, man." That's back when you get away with it, amen. That's back, and if you didn't behave then, it might whack, whack, whack on top of your head, amen. No wonder I'm so sore yet. And so this little girl, when she sees that lady turn around and look at her, she goes like this. She starts, "Jesus loves me, this I know." She just started bouncing off the walls and singing twice as loud. And Brother Bacino and I just stood there, you know what we did? We started singing with her, amen. That lady turned around, went to the corner, didn't even turn around and look anymore, amen. Praise the Lord. You know what, my friend? We ought to rejoice in the things of God. Because the flesh, it may be, what I'm saying is this. When that temptation comes your way, quote a verse in your heart, quote a verse in your mind. I had a fellow down the floor I led the Lord years ago that still after 2 years preacher, he would come to me. His first thing, when because there was no pastor in the church at the time, and I was preaching there for about 4 weeks, and he got saved. It was a pastor of the year he got saved. He got saved the second Sunday I preached there. For about 2 years after that, when I lost her pastor, I'd go down there and he said, Brother Mike, he said, you saved me. I said, I didn't save you. Jesus, I know, but you're the one that got me to that point. That's what he would tell me. And so I knew what he was saying, you know. And he told me, he said, please pray for me. I said, why? He said, because I have a hard time. He said, man, them cuss words just fly out sometimes. Them cuss words just fly out. I said, well, let me give you some verses. I gave him some verses. You know, we just remember in Scripture. I said, now, when you read these verses and when that cuss word starts to come out, quote this verse. You don't have to say it out loud. But it won't hurt you to say it out loud. But quote it in your mind. I said, that's going to go away eventually. And just start quoting the Scripture. Start believing what the Word of God says. Put it to your heart. Put it in your mind. And pretty soon those cuss words aren't even going to be there anymore. They're going to be gone. Amen. And what's it like any other temptation in life? It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual thing. And we need to give that to a holy, righteous God. He says, I want to show you one more here. I want you to go down to the end of verse 3 with me, where he says this: ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless find mercy. And I want to stop there for a second. They admit they don't deserve God, and they're calling on the only one who gave himself that title in the Scripture. Amen. The Father of the fatherless, the God of the fatherless, God of the mercy, the mothers, you know, in Scripture he gave himself that title. In fact, let me read that to you. Psalm 68:5, first part: a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And they're crying out to God, and they don't deserve him. They confess then that they deserve to be fatherless and helpless. They pray to every oppressor. They're saying, we don't deserve you. We don't deserve you. But they call on him as a father of the fatherless. And truly, a man who's not walking with God, even though he's saved, walks like he does not have a heavenly father. A man who's not walking with God will walk like he does not have a heavenly father. Why? Because God's not in control of his life. How many of you, when you were growing up, well, my dad died when I was 2, but you're growing up, you listen to everything your father said to you. Bill says he did. I'll ask your mother later on. All right. Amen. And some did, amen. But usually it doesn't happen, does it? Amen. We rebel against that. We rebel against mom. We rebel against God. We rebel against God. It's a sad state that we would rebel against a holy God like that, my friend. I get to thinking, they admit that they don't deserve anything, that they have been wrong in thinking, and they're wrong in their actions. But I want you to know something. God says, if you will not trust in man, and if you will not trust in... Now, it takes all three of these. Trust in something else for your warfare, and then trust in your own flesh. Then, you know, recognize what you are. You are poor and needy before a holy God. He says, I will heal their backsliding. You do this. He said, I will heal. You quit trusting in your flesh. Quit trusting in what someone else can do. Quit trusting in something for your spiritual warfare other than God himself and the Word of God and the things of God and the Spirit of God. He says, I will. That's a promise. Preacher, I will heal their backsliding. I will. I'm going to do it. I will do it. Now, if that's not true, then God's a liar. Amen? If it's not true, preacher, then God's a liar. And my Bible says that it's impossible for God to lie. He can't lie. Amen? It's not going to happen. So then this must be true. If I repent and I get these things right and I do what God wants me to do, then I can have revival. Watch. I will love them freely from mine anger. But I tell you what, I thank God for his love. Amen. And I realize this is Old Testament, and they had to do certain things in order to experience some things from God because they weren't walking right with God. But I'm glad he loved me before the foundation of the world, pastor, and he saved my wicked soul. Amen. He said, I'll love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I don't want God to be angry with me. I don't want God to be angry with my sin in my life. Amen. I don't want God. I don't know about you, my friend, but I want to have a right relationship with God. Amen. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn. They will revive. Amen. He said, this is Israel. If they will do these things, if they will just follow me and obey me and not trust man, not trust other things for their weapons, and not trust in their own flesh, if they will do this and recognize that I am a father of the fatherless, and they're calling, and if they ask me for mercy, I will give them mercy, and I will answer prayer, and I will revive them. I don't know about you, but I need that revival in my own life many times. He says, and grow as a vine. They're not going to stand still. They're going to grow. They will grow. They'll continue to grow. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. That sweetness, that sweet smell of the grapes. You got grape vineyards all up and down here, amen. Well, I grew up in northeast Ohio off of a Lake Erie in Geneva, Ohio. We have grapevines all over the place up there. And we used to go to work. On our way to work, we'd pull over to the side of the road about 6:30 in the morning, and we'd jump out of the cars, and we'd go over and we'd grab a couple of big bundles of grapes. And now, they were wine grapes. I'll tell you what, they didn't taste too bad, amen. They weren't wine when they were on the vine, amen. And so we picked them and throw them in a bag. I mean, there's some of the puppies are big grapes, man, you know, and one in your mouth was enough juice for a half hour, you know. We take them things to work, and then we eat them for lunch, you know. And man, they were good, sweet smelling when you go by there in the morning. That's what he says here. He said, the scent that shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do anymore with idols? I'm not going to have anything to do with idols. I'm not going to have anything to do with this wicked stuff anymore. I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Those that do not follow this, they won't fall, preacher. They can't lose their salvation, but you will fall. You cannot stand without God's help. You cannot stand without God's strength. You cannot stand without God's power. You can trust a man all you want, but you're going to fall. You can trust in the instruments to fight your spiritual warfare and books and everything else, but you're going to fall. You can trust in all those things. You can trust in the flesh of your arms to accomplish what you think you're doing is spiritually right, and you're going to fall. You will not stand. You will not last. You will not hold up because your trust is not in the Lord. You want revival, and then repentance has to take place for those things in our life that are hindering revival in our lives. We need to trust God, amen. We need to trust God and God alone. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And let me ask you two questions with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And the first question is this. You say, I've never experienced revival, Mike. I've never experienced it. Maybe you need salvation to know Jesus Christ in a personal way, to call upon Him and ask Him to forgive you for your sin, that you might be able to have eternal life. Is there anybody this morning, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you that, but you just maybe slip up your hand and say, Mike, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody like that right now, just slip your hand up and say, that's me. I'm not sure I've been saved. Just not sure. I don't see any hands. I hope you're born again. I hope you're saved by the grace of God. The second question is this. Mike, this morning, as you were preaching, God brought some thoughts to my mind, showed me some things in my heart that I need to get settled in. How about this morning? Just slip your hand and say, that's me. God bless you. Amen. Number of hands. Others, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else this morning before I go to the Lord in prayer? Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you, God, that we can have it, that we can read it, God, that we can explain it, that we can apply it, Father. And God, I know I'm probably one of the poorest preachers there is, Father, but I thank you for the ability to be able to stand up here this morning and proclaim your word, God. And I pray that it has been received in the spirit which it was given. And God, you'd have all the honor and the glory. And Father, thank you for speaking to hearts, that they might make the decision today to follow you and obey you and to do what they need to do in the service of the King. We give praise and thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And before we sing anything, the Lord speak to your heart this morning. Why don't you just slip out of your seat right now and come up to the altar. Come on. You just come. And if you can't kneel down up here, you can sit in the chair up front if you need to, or you can sit right down in your seat if you need to. You don't need to get up and move. If you need to sit in your seat, you can do that. Just take that to the Lord. Get those things settled with the Lord if you need to. get that settled with God. Help God in your life. You ask Him to help you in your life. You raise your hand and say, pray for me. You can either come or you can sit down and pray and ask God to help you in your Christian life to do what's right as a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn it over to the pastor to finish the invitation this morning.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I free.